We trust the aged care system to look after our loved ones as if they were family. And that's why the stories of abuse and neglect that were uncovered during the Aged Care Royal Commission were so heartbreaking. Well, 4 years on from that report, a major change has arrived in the form of a new Aged Care Act, which is meant to streamline legislation and processes. And most importantly, it includes a new statement of rights designed to put people at the centre of the aged care system. But what does that mean for you and your family? What are your rights in aged care? And do these changes bring us closer to a system that we can truly trust to care for our loved ones and ourselves? Lisa Backhouse gave evidence to the Royal Commission about the substandard level of care her mum experienced while in care. Lisa, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Tegan.
So I do want to get your reflections on these changes in a minute, but do you mind talking a bit about your mum and the events that led you to front up to the Royal Commission?
Yeah, sure. Look, mum had a very long and difficult journey in aged care. She was in the system for the best part of a decade. That started as very much a low-care situation for her. Back when she went into care, there was such a thing as low-care and high-care. So she started her journey in low care, and by the time she progressed to a point, she had vascular dementia, so by the time she progressed to a point of needing high care, the facility had actually morphed with her, if you like, over time, and the vast majority of people in there were high care. The centre was locked down, you needed a code to get in, and it was a very different place. Look, mum did have vascular dementia. She struggled toward the end. I guess it's hard to wrap a lot of time into a very short couple of sentences for you, but to cut a long story short, she had an unwitnessed fall at her aged care facility. That the sensor light wasn't on. She was on the floor for a very long time. When I got into hospital, the nurses pulled me aside and showed me her incontinence pad, which was absolutely disgusting. The ambulance officers had pointed it out to them when they got there because the stench was so vile. She had been trying to mobilise at the aged care home because of that and ended up having a terrible fall. Her leg was smashed. When I got back to get her the next day, she was on her bed, she was covered in urine, she was in distress and pain. I went down to confront the nurses in the station. There was a whole bunch of people standing around chatting. I asked some questions such as, when was the last time mum had medication, please? She's in pain. She was given a couple of Panadol 4 hours ago, and I'm talking about a smashed leg, Teague, and it wasn't just a little fracture in any case. It was severely broken. She wasn't receiving the care that she needed there. It was neglectful. I was told that I was bullying the staff by asking some of those basic questions. So that, you know, the abuse sort of stretches really from, can stretch from the patient to the families when you do start to ask questions and when you do start to stand up as an advocate for your relative. I flew into panic mode and went, resigned my job and went out to find another nursing home for mum, which was no mean feat because the aged care providers don't like to take people with high needs. They're more costly, they're more work, they're more bothersome. But I was very lucky I found somewhere closer to home and a very caring nurse manager at this particular facility. And she took us in and I was very grateful for that. But the experience that we had there, which was also another major organisation and provider, was equally as bad, if not worse. Mum ended up being assaulted by a carer on two separate occasions, and they were both, pretty awful assaults. She was left on the floor there for long periods of time. She wasn't treated in the manner with which you would hope that a loved one would be treated. I ended up putting a surveillance camera in her room with the permission of the nurse manager at the time. Because she understood, but she was promptly got rid of. And then, there was a lot of pressure on me to remove the camera and to move from that facility to go somewhere else because they didn't like that I was you know, watching them and caring. And so if there was an incident, I would watch mum and I would pick up the phone and I would ring the station and I would say, please, she's been in bed since 8 o'clock last night. She hasn't had any water. I can see her. She's not, you know, she's not eaten. Can someone please go and get her up? Can someone please give her a drink? Can someone please change her pad? Can someone please give her some help? So, look, it was, for me, a very traumatic period of my life. It's one that I've tried to, you know, recover from. But I know that there are many, many, many Australians still going through this. I still get approached by people. There's a young girl at my work who has confided in me recently that she's going through a similar situation with her mum. So it's still happening. It's a complex system. It's a big system. It's a system where you lose your power. There's a huge power imbalance between these very large businesses and families. And let's face it, you know, by the time your relative gets into a high care facility, they cannot advocate on their behalf any longer. They are past that point. They need someone with eyes and ears and a loud voice on the ground to advocate on their behalf.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking with Lisa Backhouse, who is an aged care advocate. She was a participant in the Royal Commission into Aged Care, telling the story of her mum, which you just heard a small slice of there. And Lisa, I do want to come back to you in a second, but also with me is Deborah Nicol, who's the CEO of Elder Rights Australia. And Deborah, just listening to Lisa's mum's story there, it makes it pretty clear why this new statement of rights for aged care is so important.
Yes, good morning, Tegan, and good morning to your listeners. You know, Lisa's story is just horrible. I find it really hard to listen to, as I'm sure everyone else does, and I'm so sorry that Lisa, and particularly her mother, had to go through that at a time in her life where she should have been cared for, cherished and appreciated.
So tell me about what this new statement of rights enshrines in law that we didn't have before.
Well, Tegan, the old Act now, I can say, the old Charter of Aged Care Rights was in the principles, so the user rights principles of the Aged Care Act. The new Statement of Rights is included in the primary legislation. So providers must ensure that their actions are consistent with this statement and that they are upholding the rights of those whom they are caring for. The rights or the duties, that they are enforceable by proceedings in a court or tribunal. Now, this will need to be tested, of course, because the Act is very new, but that is a big step forward. There are six rights and they are based on two international rights conventions, the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights and the Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So we are hoping, and look, it's a start, but there is a long way to go, as Lisa's story and others' story clearly indicates.
What will it actually mean in practice for people in the system and for their families?
Well, it will mean that they can go back and say, look, you're not, this is one of the rights, I think it's about the fifth right, is about being person-centred. The care must be person-centred or person-led. So the older person and or their representative decides what care and services they receive, who provides them, and that they are, if the older person has some form of cognitive impairment, like Lisa's mum in the end, then they are supported in their decision-making. The power balance will shift. And very interesting, Lisa, talking about power imbalance. That is what we hear on a daily basis from family who assert their parents' rights, usually, or their loved ones' rights, and they're accused of being aggressive. Now we can go back to the rights, the statement of rights, and say, no, hang on a minute, this older person has a right to receive care that is safe, that is of a quality, that is trauma-informed and respectful and delivered by qualified, well-trained staff. So I think this, certainly as independent advocates, we will be holding this statement, and as we did with the previous charter, but it will have more weight. But, you know, Tegan, we need a culture shift. And I don't just mean in aged care, a culture shift across the community about how we value and care for older people.
Lisa, listening to that, given your experience, does that sound like it's going to make a material change?
Look, I do tend to agree that anything is better than what we had. So I think that it will, look, it's a start. I think it is a start in the right direction. But I guess my concern is what it will mean in a practical sense on the ground. I agree that the culture shift and the respect for our elderly people is long overdue. I'm hoping that this is a step in the right direction. But, you know, there could be some really perverse outcomes from this as well, Tegan. Mm-hmm. You know, the onus under the Act is now on providers to lift the bar. And again, remember, these are big businesses. So the perverse outcome here could be that we actually disincentivise providers from taking high needs and dementia patients. Because if they're now going to be held, you know, to enforce certain standards, and I'd be very interested to see if these are enforceable in court or a tribunal. I know that under the Act it says you can complain to the Commissioner. Well, we could always complain to the Commissioner. They have some strength and powers, but I will be, you know, it will be very interesting to see if it plays out in a court. But I do feel that it does, putting the onus back on providers to raise the standards. I mean, it's not high needs people who people with high needs are the ones who need to go into care, right? A lot of what's come through here is trying to keep people in their own homes, you know, under this package. It's about the stay-at-home packages. It's about keeping people in their own homes. Well, the people with high needs are the ones who need to go into care. It's not an option for them to stay at home and be supported by the system there. So if we're incentivising, if we're telling providers to lift the bar and they know they need to do that or they're going to be held accountable, what's the incentive for them to take dementia patients and high needs patients? And where do those people then end up?
Here on Life Matters on ABC Radio National, I'm Tegan Taylor with Lisa Backhouse, who is an aged care advocate inspired in large part by the terrible experiences that her mum had in aged care, and Deborah Nicol, who's the CEO of Elder Rights Australia. And I'd love to know if this is a system that you've interacted with, what your experience has been. Randall in Canberra says the aged care system is designed for the frail aged. It's quite inadequate for the disabled with high care needs. The NDIS is designed to care for the disabled. However, unfortunately, the NDIS rejects people who become disabled after 65. They're now referred to aged care. Randall says the new system gives even less personal care than previously provided. We urgently need to look at the treatment of disabled people in aged care. It is such a complex and multi-layered issue, Deborah. What kind of legal avenues might people be able to go down? What sort of legal accountability would providers have if they're breaching this new Act?
Look, I'm not a lawyer, Tegan, for starters. So, yes, I can't comment too much on that. As we said, we really will need to test this new Act, and we really do need to know if people are having ongoing issues. What I can say is that we now have, by way of governance of aged care, a complaints commissioner, an independent complaints commissioner. So we've got the Aged Care Quality and Safety Commissioner, and we've got an independent complaints commissioner, just been appointed. We've also got an interim First Nations commissioner, an Inspector General of Aged Care. They happen to all be women, just by coincidence, and they are all pretty committed, from what I can gather, to helping to change the system and to hold providers to account. And they're doing that by speaking to older people with lived experience. And I think that's key, to hear from people like Lisa who have had lived experience, to hear from older people who are currently living in residential aged care or receiving care at home. What is their experience? And amplifying that, and it will be a slow change. This is a massive cultural change across the community and across aged care, but it's a step that we have to take.
So, Deborah, listening to Lisa's story, it sounded like every step of the way was a fight, and not everyone has the ability to be as relentless, where can they turn if they feel like they need help?
Well, I guess that's why Royal Commission Recommendation 106 was to make sure that aged care, independent aged care advocates, that there were more of us, that we were funded adequately, and we were able to respond and help address the power imbalance that Lisa has so clearly articulated that she experienced. Aged care advocates are there to provide independent information to empower informed decision making, provide direct advocacy support and stand beside the older person and their representative, act at their direction, of course, and with their permission. We're also out there educating aged care staff on what it means to recognise the rights of the older person.
Well, Deborah, Lisa, thank you both so much for joining me. Deborah Nicol is CEO of Elder Rights Australia, and Lisa Backhouse sharing her story, how she's been advocating for changes to the aged care sector after such a negative experience with her mum. On the text line, one says, "My late father was in aged care for the last 2 years of his life. He received exceptional care and loving compassion. My mother-in-law is currently in an aged care facility and she also receives amazing care. I have friends whose parents are in care and have the same good experiences. I'm not denying negative claims, but the media never talks about the good stories. We need to share good experiences." Well, I'm so glad to hear that those people are getting beautiful care as well.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.